Blog Talk Radio. I'm excited to be a part of this ministry on tonight. My name is Minister Sylvia Kaiser, and this is Smile 3E, Iron Sharply Iron. We are on Facebook Live as well as on Blog Talk World Wide Web Ministry. Our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So tonight, Minister Ron Montgomery will be co-hosting with myself, or I would say I'm co-hosting with him. But what happened is that he will be having a surprise for us. Y'all know y'all like surprises. Y'all look for surprises. Y'all be ready for surprises. I'm so happy that planned a surprise for us on tonight. I am going to turn the program over to him. He could present his surprise to us and tell us what he has in store. And we're just going to sit back, lay back, and glean off of what God has put on his heart and Tony Montgomery's heart to bless us. And I just want you all to know, we're going to be blessed tonight. So, Minister Ron, are you on the line? Okay, I'm waiting to see. I don't know what time he's going to get on the line because they are in another state, and we do have a time zone difference. So I'm just trying to see if he's on the line. The lines are open. We could just go on and continue to do what God has ordained us to do, to just do what he has for
Hello?
Us.
Hello?
Yes.
Minister Kaiser, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, sir. It's in your hands.
Okay. I don't know.
I turned the program over to you.
Okay, and thank you for that surprise. that's good. I know you were going to introduce it like that. We had to discuss what we're going to do tonight. And we have a problem. I guess it's kind of a technology problem. I don't know if my wife, Toni, is on or not. But if she is, she would be joining us from Hong Kong. She's there visiting our daughter, who lives in Hong Kong. She's a teacher there at the American School. And Toni decided to go visit her and take in the culture of another country. And the problem is sometimes the communication thing. We don't have the expensive communication devices you see on the news media and whatnot, where they can talk from one continent to another with very little interference. Her communication is on WhatsApp. And WhatsApp sometimes gets a little sketchy in its telephonic communication and broad distances. And didn't know if we'd be able to have a cohesive conversation with y'all using that. And now I don't know if Toni is on or not. And I'm going to ask now, Toni, are you on? And I guess that reply would mean no. She's not. Okay, so that communication I was telling you about has gotten to be a little bit of sketchy. But never mind about that, because we knew Toni was going to be in China, or in Hong Kong, excuse me. And so we knew that we would have to make some alternate arrangements. So we invited a couple of people who have some distinction as a married couple, having been married for 32 years. Raised 3 children, and are very, very active in the Christian faith and in the church itself and the various ministries in which they serve. And these are very, very good friends of ours whom we have known ever since they've been married back in the early 90s. That's the 1990s. And this evening, I just want to let them introduce themselves. and who they are and what they do. But this is Mr. and Mrs. Warfield, and that would be Vince and Roz Warfield. Vince and Roz, are y'all there?
Yes, we are here. We are here. We are here.
Hey, Vince.
Hey, how's it going, Ron?
It's going good. It's going good. Tell us about you and Roz, Vince. I pointed out that y'all been married for over 30 years.
Yeah, we've been married for 33 years. We met in Atlanta, and I was going to college in Savannah, and she was going to school in Atlanta. And I just happened to come there for a weekend, and I met her. I met her roommate's guy friend. He was from Ohio, and, you know, we got to talking, and he says, "Hey, man, I'm going over to see Charlotte, and why don't you come along with me?" I said, "Okay, no problem." And I met Rosalind, and we became friends, and we were friends for the next 10 years before we got married, actually.
Oh, y'all both
which made it pretty cool. Which made it pretty cool, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my take on it. And then we got married in 91, and we've been married ever since.
All right. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it.
Yes.
And do you want to introduce our subject for tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to introduce
the particular kind of discussion you want to have.
My lovely wife, Miss Rosalind Knighton Warfield. She is one of a kind. to me, she's one of the. She's my best friend. We have so many interests that are just alike, and that's why I think we have got through our journey, and once we do get to the point to where we make a life story, it will be a story for the ages. And I present my wife, Mrs. Vincent Rosalind Warfield.
Hey, good evening, good evening, good evening. Your love.
Good evening, Ron.
Most cherished. It is Dr. Smile, a.k.a. Auntie Roz, wife Roz. How is everyone doing this evening?
All right. It's so good to hear you, Roz.
Me too, Brother Ron. I'm sure you're missing your lovely bride.
Yes, it's a struggle.
You just imagine. So, Ron, did you want me to start off with some subject matter, or did you... have any more anything else to say?
No, I'm just going to comment on what you and Roz present to us.
Okay, well, great. When you initially asked me to do this, I got to thinking about what really stops a person or a couple from getting where they need to be. And the first thing I had mentioned to Rosalind, because I said, well, one thing that really, really stops me and a lot of people that I actually know and have the conversation is regret. And then I looked up the word regret. And regret is a feeling of sorrow, remorse, or disappointment about an action, loss of a person that has passed away. It can also be a response to circumstances that are beyond one's control. Regret can be a cognitive and emotional reaction to a disappointing event, such as a choice you made, a statement you said, or something that has happened. Regret can be intrusive and heavy and can last for minutes, days, years, or even lifetimes. Regret can be painful, because it implies that you could have made a different choice or taken a different action that would have made something good happen or avoided something bad. The intensity of regret can vary over time and can be related to action versus inaction. And then it goes on to say what you can do about dealing with regret. Let yourself feel the regret, but don't avoid or wallow in it. try to make amends in your behavior caused harm. Learn to forgive yourself. Refrain your experiences of regret. Write about and share your regret. Use regret to clarify what you value. Regrets can also refer to a polite, unusual formal refusal of an invitation. For example, I send her my regrets. Now, what I got out of that is what stopped me along my journey, even in my singlehood and then into my married life, all the way up to today. I regret it a lot because I wanted to play basketball, and then I got hurt. I went to the Marines, and I got hurt. But I didn't let that set me back. But I still think about how I could have been. But in the Word of God, it tells us always to pursue and to keep looking forward. And the wife that I've got that God gave me, she doesn't let the past really determine to where she wants to go. So my answer to all of it is to just pursue on and to keep practicing newness of life and not let regret pull you down like an anchor to get you to where you need to be. Honey, would you like to have some responses to that?
I'm so proud of you, honey.
That's lovely, baby. Thank you.
From my point of view on regret, I always look at those words that have a lot of confrontational weight to it, and I ask the Lord to help me with a acronym that's positive. And the positive acronym that was downloaded to me for regret was reclaim every growth, comma, renew every triumph. Reclaim every growth, comma, renew every triumph. And I have to go to at least three scriptures, and y'all can write them down. I'll list them off first, then I'll read them. Romans 8:28, Philippians 3:13-14, Philippians 3:13-14, and then 2 Corinthians 7:10. Now for you may have some other verses, because we know that God's a resource of the Bible. God is the source, and we put the resource of the Bible there for us to get the word. You may have some other scriptures. But when I was listening to Vincent talk, and he was talking about his singleness into his married life, and one of the things, because us women and us men, we pull on different areas. And for me, even though I know to move forward, you know, there's been times of regret where I've said something to Vincent. Vincent has said something to me. We did not have discussions, you know, for money or business or family, and it caused some hurt. It caused some discomfort. But one of the things about that positive acronym, reclaim every growth, renew every triumph. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And when I think about that and I get into a moment where I'm regretful, I have to think about who's the source of my life. It's not Vincent, it's God. So there will be times where I have to go apologize, or I have to say, hey, can you explain again? Or this is what I heard. We have to take time to engage. Philippians 3:13-14, it says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead,
I press on toward the goal. And that's what Vince said earlier. He didn't give the address of the scripture, but I knew exactly what he was talking about because we've had conversations when there is regret or unforgiveness, and we've had to say, hey, let's get on the same page, look towards the light, which is our goal, the light of Christ, and win the prize, which God has called us heavenward, you know, in Jesus Christ. And then the last scripture I'll share and then hand it back over to Vince. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. And every time I had a season, I had to just go look at a few of those versions to see which one really was would press me to understand. And you know that regret can, as Vince had shared, it can not only just come from a situation or a decision, it could even come while a person is grieving because they get into a scenario that maybe I didn't do what my mom wanted me to do, or my dad, or my child, or a friend, or maybe you got in an argument with someone. But if we keep our eyes on Christ and truly own our vertical alignment, truly go into the secret places for knowing the three-dimensional of ourselves, then we can trust God to take his providential hand, turn the dial when it comes to the assignment of being a wife, of being a husband, whatever that relational currency is that we deal with. So I hope that I've shared some seeds. Honey, back to you.
Okay, great, great, great. Now, the opposite of regret is to be proud of something. For example, the opposite of your biggest regret is your proudest moment. When I read this, that the first time, I really kind of didn't understand it. But I think that whenever you feel regretful, you should always think of the things that make you the happiest. So you don't ponder on that thing that tripped you up, that thing that made you do something you didn't want to do. And now concentrate on one of the biggest things. I read a book a while ago. It was called Unthawing Your Frozen Assets. And a lot of times as ice is unthawed because of heat, and all of a sudden you really see what ice is made out of, which is water. And sometimes our proudest moments is something that eliminates regret. So if it's any questions that my wife and I cannot answer, we would love to hear someone give a rebuttal, someone give a question, and maybe we can work it out.
Ron?
I love quiet moments.
Okay, well, I'll give some other points here. Sister?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I had muted myself so you
wouldn't
hear
all, that's okay.
All this fan noise I got going back here.
No problem. We still love you, man, all the way to the moon.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'll tell you, I don't have any regrets about it.
Okay,
you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm thinking of regrets in a different way. Because I'm thinking of regret as being something that I'm dealing with the circumstances of a bad decision, and it's difficult to work through the circumstances that decision created, and I'm living with having to regret that I made that decision in the first place as I try to solve the problem. I know that the way you explain it, that that's all that is just a method of activating the solution to the problem. You can't change it, but you can attempt to change as a result or modify the result. So I'm still wrapping my head around that.
Okay.
And so, I mean, I'm learning as I listen to you and Roz, and I'm seeing how I can apply that to my particular situation, my relationship, if you will, with regret.
Yeah.
And I'm certainly hoping that someone else out there listening to this could probably chime in. Do you know, is Apostle Select Cecilia on the line?
Yes, I am, sir.
There are others who are trying to get in. They say that the block talk a number is not working. It just cuts off when it's called. Have you had any other people trying to get on?
I see people that are calling in, and then their phone call is dropping. Yes, sir, I do.
Is there anything you can say?
It's saying that it's dropping, so I don't know if it's something to do with the connectivity or what's going on, but I can't tell what's causing the phone calls to drop. But as soon as I open up their line, it drops.
Oh.
So
okay.
If I don't open up their line, then it doesn't – it's showing that they're staying, but I'm actually trying to open up everyone's line as soon as they come on.
Yes, and Sylvia, when you open it, does it keep them muted? Because I know I'm hearing some background noise also.
That's
if
because
you want to remind how to remove.
That's because everybody's phones are open, and so since we're on digital, if more than one line is open, then you're going to hear background noise. So like I can hear someone's television in the background and things of that sort. And
okay.
So just be aware that if you're listening and your laptop is on, then digital to digital, we're going to hear your television and things going on in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. That's why I was trying to stay muted while I wasn't talking. Okay.
Okay, I have a thing that I wanted to talk about with regret, if that's okay.
Yeah, feel free.
One of the things that I used to regret in my singleness, because I'm still single and I plan on staying that way, is that I regretted that a lot of my role models, my aunts and my uncles, and the people that I respected so greatly, whether it was because we were in church or because of the Masonic connection or whatever, they always felt that they could, be transparent around me. And really, they should have been, because it gave me a bad taste for marriage because of the infidelity on both sides. And so as I would see the infidelity, I went into counseling with my pastor, and he told me, he said, Cecilia, you're looking for Jesus. He says, you're never going to get married because you're looking for Jesus. And then I told him, I said, then I guess I'll never get married, because I thought the word of God said that you're supposed to be married to that person, and we don't live in a place where you can have a side piece, quarter piece, whatever you want to call it. And so that was one of the regrets of my life. But then I had a prophetess that talked to me, and she said, Cecilia, you've got to allow people to be human. And I said, no, that's an excuse for infidelity. And so if I had anything that I would say I regret it, I regret that they were so open in front of me that they let me see stuff that I shouldn't have seen and hear stuff that I shouldn't have heard, and I know stuff I shouldn't know. And so I would say that's something that I could say I used to regret, but I don't anymore, because I'm very happy that they were confident enough to allow me to see and hear things. But I think that married couples need to realize that there's always somebody watching, and it could be a young person. And so then they're building up what they think marriage should be based off of the Bible versus what they're actually seeing. And that's all I have.
Lady, thank you so much for that share. And you really gave a good real live example for where regret set in. But because you learned yourself, you took some steps. I'm not sure that I agreed with something that was told to you. You're looking for Jesus. Just as I read in that one scripture, we should be looking for Jesus, you know. And yes, people are human, but that's the whole point of once we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, for us to grow and mature in being the image of God. So I commend you that whatever you did to get through all of that, to know who you are, your identity in Christ, I commend you, because I'm thinking that, you know, we've been hanging with you about 3-4 months now, just listening, that if someone had said that to one of my other peers or girlfriends who weren't married, I don't know if they would have been able to handle it like you did. I think everybody's level and of execution and potential, it makes a difference. But the main thing is knowing identity, and I think you had a strong knowing in your knower of who you are in Christ. So thank you for that share. There's been many things in our lives, even being married for 33 years, that we still talk about. I had to, I don't want to say I had to, I shared with Vince, something took place the weekend, and I had to go back to him, and he said, he apologized, but I still wanted to talk it out because I wanted to understand. I wanted to talk how I felt, but I still asked him, what made you feel that way? But he apologized. But I don't want to put him in that position, if it's me being human, you know, to do that. But that's how I come. Communication is very important, especially not just with couples, on a job, a peer, with children, with parents. Communication is very important for us to be able to understand each other. So that's my share so far on the regret piece. And thank you so much, Lady Sylvia, for that.
Can I say one more thing? On the regret part, I have a prayer meeting that men, we have it at 12 o'clock every day. It's about maybe 5 or 6 guys on. And one of the reasons why I'm discovering that men don't talk is because they feel the word anonymity, that somebody else is going to find out what they're wrong with. And they don't have the ability or want the ability to, they have the ability, but we as men, sometimes we don't want to talk about it. We rather just say, well, you a man, you know, put some dirt on it. Don't put no bandage, put some dirt on it and keep living. But meanwhile, I'm still hurting. And so now it's like I want to keep all my stuff bundled inside of me. And then at the end of the day, you explode. And some people just don't recognize that. And Stephen Covey has got a book called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And one of the habits is seeking first to understand rather than to be understood. And the word also says, too, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren, because when we get together, we'll be able to talk it out and talk it through and get different opinions on how to figure out what I need to do as a man, as a husband, as a friend, as a person in general. And a lot of times we don't want to talk about it, because I believe if we start talking more about it, we can figure out a lot of things that are hindering us from getting us to where we need to be.
You know, Vince, you said something a little while ago that has me a little bit perplexed.
Uh-huh.
And you talked about regrets and the relationship regrets have with pride. And I was thinking that those things, rather than being antithetical, in other words, you know, them working together for the better, it seems like regrets are actually in place because of pride. You know, you don't want to appear to be, for lack of a better word, unaware. You know, your pride is a thing that you're trying to protect. I don't know. Am I making any sense?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Because again, we as men, we don't want to appear weak.
Mm-hmm.
We want to appear strong all the time. Because again, another discussion we had was about when little boys cry. We said, stop all that crying. Stop acting like a little girl. Instead of showing that emotion and saying, well, you know, man, that emotion is something that is good to show. But a lot of times we keep that contained inside of us, and it comes out differently when we get older. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Unfortunately, the difference that it comes out in usually is a suppression of your feelings.
Yes.
And I mean, that's depression there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Ron, when Vincent said that part, maybe we can use some different words, that the opposite of regret can be contentment or satisfaction to a situation instead of prideful to the situation. But I think maybe, and honey, you tell me how you met when you said it, maybe it's the delight to know that the relief of regret, you've been able to get to a place of contentment and satisfaction where that regret is not and no longer making you feel sorrowful or disappointed over past actions. I don't know, maybe as a couple, maybe that has maybe some clarity, Ron or Dr. Sylvia or whomever else may want to chime in.
Ron, can I ask you a question? It's not dealing with this subject, but do you know who the 702-820-8371 number is? And if so, do you think maybe someone can do a three-way with them? Because they've had so many drops, and they really are working diligently to get in. And I would really like for them
That's
to
beautiful.
Get in if they could do a, if someone could do a three-way with them.
Yes.
Say that telephone number again.
702-820-8371. Again, 702-820-8371.
Yeah, I know who that is.
Okay, Ron, are you able to three-way them on the same line? Because I think if we open another device, then we'll get some reverberation.
Well, let me see.
I've
got it. Let me do this, then.
Okay, no problem. He just said
I have to get back to my screen.
Sister Sylvia?
Yes, ma'am.
While we're waiting for Brother Ron, Did that make sense, what I shared about the opposite of regret, contentment, or satisfaction? Do you think that since Brother Ron had a question about the position of words that Vince shared from being prideful, I think maybe more joy and relief instead of the word proud or prideful, that the situation has been cleared up?
It made sense because when you say the word regret, you know, it's more, like you say, it's a negative than anything where people would take stuff and look at it as in a negative way, as far as some people may say, I regret the day I met you.
Right.
You know, so, yes, we really should look at that in another way, because when you're saying regret, normally regret means nobody says I regret when they're happy or satisfied.
No.
Regret is a word you just sit back and say, you know what, when I think of we first got together, how happy we was, how the love was there, how you always wanted to touch me or be around me or hear what I had to say. Now you don't want to hear what I have to say, or you make me feel like you don't. So I regret investing this time in you.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, we have to look at it from the word of God. He said, well, love and kindness have I drawn thee. And I don't want love and kindness to be where I say, with love and kindness, I regret thee.
I think that I can give a scenario in my life as I speak, as I live today. I regret, like I say, I lost this 35, 40 pounds. I regret not doing it sooner.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I regret, that is a regret. But I believe this, that the way it is with me now and the way my, because like I say, I have a bad hip as well. But it's at the point now with how bad do you want to live?
Yes.
The regret now, I can move on, because it's not a period right now in my life. It's a comma for me to see how
right.
I felt. Would take right. It's compared to how I felt to how I'm feeling. And how I'm going to feel. And I think it's a process. It's a thing called pride. You have to put away that pridefulness. You have to put
Dr.
now you have to go ahead, Ryan.
I'm sorry. I just want to kind of piggyback on what you're saying there, Vince. You know, things that you regret. As long as you are, and I think that you said this at the beginning, activated by those regrets to continue to solve the problem.
Yes.
That the regrets have a tendency to dissolve away as the positive effect of having solved the problem take effect. You know?
Yes.
I mean, so in a way, regret may be the stimulator.
Yes, you know, I think when I initially read the synopsis, regret can make you go forward. It can make you go backwards.
Ah, yeah, it can be a motivator.
I believe that wholeheartedly, because you know, when we get to the point to where you regret, you say, "Hey, man." Or you know, even the word in the Word of God says, well, what must I do to be saved? I do believe that in my heart.
Okay.
To be saved, you got to give up a lot of stuff. You got to give it up. For you to build and to be that man that you're searching to be, that Christian man, you know, and you. Because you're building a brand new person.
Right, right. Well, let me interject something right quick, too, because we had talked about having the problems with people connecting. I did a three-way with Carmita, so she's with us now. Carmita's with us, and I guess she's listening to try to catch up where we were in the discussion. But as soon as you're ready, Carmita, jump on in there and hang on to this. The thing that you were saying about the regrets, though, Vince, like you're going to be a motivator or an inhibitor, it depends on what you do about it. You can sit there and waller. Is that such a word?
Yes.
I guess it's waller. In your regret, and you will do nothing but get deeper and deeper into regret, and that's where depression comes from. Or you can use your regret as a marking place. I mean, like you did with your weight loss. And say after you experienced the success, you knew you wanted to lose weight. You found a situation in which you could lose weight, a process in which you could lose weight, and you experienced success with it. And now you look back on it, and you're saying, well, I could have done this a long time ago. Let me keep at it. And so when you get to your goal in that situation, because you're only going to lose so much weight before it's not a good thing to lose anymore. When you get to that goal and to your health goals, the regrets disappear because they're no longer in effect. So the thing is to take whatever regrets you have, examine them intellectually. And I say that because a lot of regrets are tied up in emotion, and emotion has no intellect. You have to take whatever that emotion. The emotion is a thermometer. You know?
Yes.
But you want to be a thermostat. You want to be the thing that can do something about whatever it is that your emotion is telling you. You know, so the emotion just tells you how you feel. Right? Now you have to set the temperature for how you want to feel and how you're going to feel. That's just my contribution to it.
I want to ask a question. And good evening, everybody. What are we regretting? The marriage?
No. We're just talking about regret. Maybe you ought to fill Carmita in on
I have no problem.
Statement.
I have no problem. The subject matter is regret, and I read off the scenario of what regret can mean in certain situations. Oh, I've never regret of marrying my wife, even though we've had. You know what I'm saying? I believe first because my wife is my friend. She's my sister. You know, my point is, it's not about regretting, because I already knew when I actually first met my wife, I knew I was going to marry her. In the back of my mind, I was like, oh, what is that? And but my point is, this thing called regret can either propel us or it can send us back. I do believe that. I really truly believe that. And I choose to use regret as a lesson. And I had given the example of myself losing weight. I'm 35 pounds lesser as far as weight-wise than I was how many months ago, Franklin?
About 6 weeks ago.
6 weeks ago. And the thing of it is, I have a bad hip now, but that's not – I think that's just how do you say? It's trying to be a deterrent from me getting to where I need to be. And then it's like, do I want to be stronger and go through it? Do I want to look at it as a comma or a period? And I choose to look at it. I choose to look at it as a comma, so that I'm not regretful and I'm remorseful. And then it says the opposite of regret is to be happy, to think about the happy thing. So now I can choose to say, hey, I lost weight, and I'm happy about it. You know, my wife looked at me now, you know, and I'm like, man, why are you looking at me like that? And her eyes is like, ooh, man, you fine. And so I say that, and I'm also healthier. You know, I'm going to be 65 another week.
Ooh.
You know? Okay. But my mind says I'm 35. I'm like, I'm 35 years old. But
well,
yeah.
Well, right.
And you know, so, I agree with anything that you said so far, because regret can send you off in two different directions. It depends on your mindset, because regret, it feels awful because it implies that there's something that you could have done different, done better,
yes,
you know, et cetera, et cetera. And you're not satisfied with yourself and probably others in your orbit at that particular time, but you can take that regret, because anything that you do that is but anything that could be a lesson for you, and it could set you on a path to reach the goal of doing better step by step by step. And regret, I think, the opposite of regret to me is satisfaction. So once you get over that initial regret and you start moving forward in a positive direction, okay, that's where things start to get better and you start to improve your mind. And like Ron said, it's emotion. Regret is emotion, because now you're loaded down with baggage of what I could have did and why didn't I do this and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, some people take that regret and become alcoholics or drug addicts, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's a point of view. I think it's a point of view. You know, there was two twin boys who were asked. One became a psychologist, the other one became an alcoholic. And they asked the one who became the alcoholic, he said, because my father was an alcoholic. Then they asked the psychologist, why did you become a psychologist? He says, because my father was an alcoholic. And so it's how you look at it. I believe it's how you look at it. And then you know what your triggers are. You know, I want to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because black men don't live long because the weight, we got to lose weight. We got to start educating ourselves. And through what Ron, my sister, talked about, and through the man talking about how the fact of the matter is, we got to be healthy versus not being healthy.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So now my mindset is a lot different. You know, my mindset is a lot different from when I was when I started this journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
The
last thing.
So
go ahead, Ron. I have something in closing, so you let. But I wanted to make sure that was Carmita who last spoke and not Miss Sylvia.
Right.
Carmita, I just want to throw this in, that when we were asked what the topic was, I want to say that there have been regrets as a couple, but we know that even though we focus on couple topics on the fourth Monday, it still goes to our own vertical alignment, our identity. And there are some folks that have been in regret, and it can propel you forward or backward. And I just wanted to share this, that when a person, some powerful tips that to push past our emotions of regret, we know to practice self-compassion, which we heard Miss Sylvia talk about from her situation. You know, instead of dwelling on a self-blame or a criticism or direction that had been given to her, she had to take herself through so she would not be stuck in what someone else had tried to call out over her life. Another thing is focus on lessons learned. Then he's learning, which has helped. With him losing the weight, it's made, you know, it's enlightened our relationship. But that's for both of us because we feel better. We're not tired. We're not irritated. And, yeah, we both have discussed, man, how come it took us so long to get to this point? So we shift our perspective from dwelling on, you know, the past and just look at the forward. And then take a positive action, of course, you know, channel the energy of regret into constructive action like Ms. Carmita. And I had mentioned, Carmita, I don't know if you had heard that the opposite of regret can be like contentment and or satisfaction. And then practice gratitude, you know, being able to cultivate gratitude for the lessons learned, the growth. It doesn't just pertain to a married couple. It pertains to any relationship, and most of all, the relationship within ourselves, that relational currency and the collaborative intelligence of, you know, us allowing the power team of three, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, to be the wise counsel of our life. And last is when Ron was discussing that it can lead to depression, we definitely don't want the regret to lead into unforgiveness. So we want to embrace forgiveness, extend forgiveness to ourselves and others involved in the situation. You know, being able to recognize that holding on to resentment or guilt only perpetuates a cycle of regret that can lead to depression, frustration, and, you know, to alcoholism or drugs or pornography, you know, because we're trying to do that self-medicated thing to try and get out of it. But we stay in the Word of God, and, you know, we aren't perfect, but if we strive for consistency, we know that there's always going to be transformation, and still even yet with that, I can be consistent doing the wrong thing and definitely run into transformation. But if I'm consistent knowing the right thing in my knower, then yes, I will get to a place of transformation, of letting go and moving forward with compassion and grace. Honey, did you have any last words?
Oh, man, I can talk about this. You know,
we
you
can
know,
talk
because
about this. We're basically what we're doing is setting this up for part two. I think that although we have not exhausted the subject, we have exhausted the time. So,
amen.
we're just going to wrap it up and turn it back over to Minister Sylvia. Thank you so very, very much. I will close out in prayer, Minister Sylvia, after you given your announcement.
Okay, thank you. Thank you all so much. Minister Ron and Roz, we thank you all for the subject of tonight. Minister Carmita, I thank you for being consistent and persistent with getting back in. But I want to say something real quick before I give our closing remark. One thing I did regret growing up was me and my sister Cecilia, we have always been compared to be one person. And people have always combined us together. They never could tell us apart, even with us standing there. Her name is Cecilia. My name is Sylvia. So we have always been Cecilia, Cecilia, or Sylvia. So when people mix us up, it's funny. It's funny to us, but because it's like we're so close in age as well as a bloodline that even when one says something, it's like the other one lives that life or we feel that life. So when people say, I said or she said, and we know the other one said it, we don't get offended. But I just wanted to make sure I put that out there because I said that a lot of times I hear regret is when somebody said it in a negative way. But like we were saying on tonight, a lot of people said it in a positive way. I regret not eating better. I regret not working out. I regret not seeing the gift that God has given me or the gift that God has made me. That's the regret we were talking about on tonight. I thank God for allowing us to this time to talk about this because, see, a lot of times people can't move from one place to the next place because they don't talk about the regrets they have. I regret not recognizing who you were, not so much just me, but who you were in my life, because what the Word of God says, whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain the favor of the Lord. Sometimes you can regret not realizing your good thing, not knowing that everything you have is only because of the good thing. And that's one thing I'm so excited about us having. I love the fourth Monday of every month where we get to sit down and we get the chance to talk about stuff that needs to be put on the table because, Vince, you said it, black men don't live long. Black men don't get love long either because there's certain things we just don't talk about. There's certain things that's not put on the table, and then when it is put on the table, it's at a frustrated level. Like Apostle Elect Cecilia said earlier, because of her desires and her requirements, she was always told, you're looking for Jesus. But as Rod said, isn't that what the Bible tells us to do? He said, for the husband to love their wife as Jesus loved the church. And what did Jesus do for the church? He gave his life. So what is wrong about her desiring a husband, but at the same sense, because she was exposed to things that were said, things that was done, and things that she heard. Her desire to be married was like, oh, no, I don't want that. I can get that in the world.
Right.
You know, so we have to look at a whole lot of stuff when we use certain words. We have to make sure it's roundabout that we're talking about the regretting of not appreciating myself or what God has given me. That's what I got out of tonight. I hope someone else got that out of tonight because the lesson on tonight was about life-giving instructions. Stop regretting what you have and acknowledge God for everything that's been put in front of you and know if the words you're using, what the format is that you're using it in. So I thank you all for that. Please join us next Monday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. That is our youth service. We're going to be giving God the glory. So our 8 p.m. Central Standard Time will be our next Monday, which will be the fifth Monday of the month. And if you come back on Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, you can hear me talk about Wisdom Wednesdays that God has placed in our heart with Smile 3E to share with everyone. On Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you all are not doing nothing, call in. If you call in, maybe we could just do a little extra teaching on regrets of what it is that we can open the floor. We don't have to wait for the next fourth month. You know, if you're not doing anything this Friday, please call in at 9 p.m. and let's talk. I'll check to see if anyone's on the line to talk about it. But if you want to hear the woman of God, our overseer, our apostle-elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, she will be on the service blog talk teaching us about what God has to say. And I just want you all to know that our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Oh.
And I'm going to hand it back over to Minister Ron so that he can bless us with a prayer and give us his closing remarks. And I want to say again, thank you, Vess and Ron Warfield, for stepping in, stepping up, and blessing us on tonight with your service. Amen.
You're welcome. You're welcome very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. We enjoyed the topic. We enjoyed the discussion, and we enjoyed the fellowship. And we thank you for bringing us to that point. I think you brought us to the throne, Vincent Rob, and we sure appreciate that. Of course, being able to discuss these things in light of Scripture, in light of God's plan for us, and how we have to get ourselves in tune with that. Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight just to thank you, O Lord. Thank you for this Christian fellowship. Thank you for the Holy Scripture. You're leaving us the words of the millennials of individuals who have lived for you, O Lord, and been able to follow those examples, Lord. As it said in the scripture, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That means that we've got all kinds of potential that we can live up to and take the regrets we may have of not having lived up to that and turning them into a positive force of getting to that point so that we wipe those results out, Lord. We thank you for Vince and Roz coming before us this evening to bring this to our attention, O Lord. We thank you for your Holy Ghost of coming in here and interceding with us this evening. And, Lord, we thank you for this format that you have blessed Minister Sylvia with and Apostle-elect Cecilia with in order to make this possible for us to connect ourselves throughout the globe, if necessary. Lord, we just ask and we continue to thank you and give you praise for all the things you provide. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen,
yes.
Amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
Thank you.
Yes, all right. I enjoyed you tonight. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.